continue. So, if you then you are risen with Christ, Colossians 3 verse 1, you seek those things which are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God, we set our affections on things on earth, on things spiritual, and not on, on things above, not on things on earth, on things spiritual, for you are dead and your life is hid in Christ with God. So we pay attention on spiritual things. So one of the things that are also spiritual that we must pay attention to is the church, the structure of the church, the structure of the New Testament church, the structure of the ministry pattern, how we are meant to operate, our yardsticks, our perimeters, our boundaries, the binding rules, the binding conditions, codes of conduct, all these we are to look into. We are to look into. We have perimeters, we have boundaries, we are controlled, we are God controlled. We have boundaries. We cannot just do and undo. There's a reason why we do things the way we do. So that's what we'll be looking at in this series. So don't forget, your being here is sacrifice of soul, okay? So we are here to serve. You must know that you are actually in the church to serve. I will come to it later. We are here to serve. Your being here is a sacrifice of its own. So that means you have done the big part already. You have done the big part is for you to be here. You have done it already. Amen, amen. You have let go of desires already, so you are here. That's why you are here. You have done the bigger part of the work is for you to be here, which, and you're already here. So don't forget, your right, like I said before, in love and self, your right is not as important as our purpose. Your right, that means your individual rights, the individual right of a Christian is not as important as the purpose of the church. The individual rights of a Christian is not as important as the purpose of the church. Now, so we'll be looking at this, what I just finished saying, now we'll be looking at it in the next two, this one and the next series. Matthew 19 verse 4. Some things are in man that are of God. E.g., which eyes do you use to read God's word? Physical eyes or spiritual eyes? Physical eyes. But with the aid of your physical eyes, you have been able to know God, right? Huh? So some things are in man that are of God. The makeup of man is to know God, is to please God. Matthew 19 verse 4, I'll be fast on this. And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them out, male and female? He said, have you not read? Here, really? Didn't you read it? I mean, when you are reading, didn't you see this part? Jesus expects them to see it with which eyes? Physical or spiritual? Physical. So, now at times, we just say, we focus so much on our spiritual senses that I want to see vision, I want to see revelation. But your physical eyes, you are not using it. Like we said earlier, eyes, physical eyes to read God's word, ears to hear God's word. Matthew 13 verse 13. What of the mind? Like I said in the first part, the mind of man, your mind, your intelligence, your intellect is for God. That thing that you spent in school to study guidance and counseling is 4 years doing things that you can know without school. That you went to school to know. 4 years, you can use the same brain for God. God deserves that same concentration. See Matthew 13, verse 13. Therefore, speak I unto them in parables. Why? Because they see, they see not, hearing they hear not. Neither do they understand. That's the point. And in them was fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing you shall hear and you shall not understand, seeing you shall see and not perceive. For these people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and they should understand with their hearts, and that I should be converted and I should heal them. So that means our mind, like I was saying initially, slow of heart. Our mind is given to discover God, to know His will. We are given natural things. Actually, if I told you with the microphone, we are given natural things to discover God.
natural things to discover God. Adam was given the same to discover God. Creation, the mind, and all. Adam was given the same to discover God. Remember when he said, for the invisible things of him from the beginning of the world are what? Clearly seen by the things that are made. So everything, see, is so, don't forget, I'm not saying there is salvation in creation, but they are all towards to discover. The mind, the eyes, sense organs, everything you have is to discover God. It's also that we use these things for everything else apart from the main purpose. To know God. 2 Timothy 3:15. 2 Timothy 3:15. Yes, God must reveal himself to man, and that is in Christ. When we say that man cannot know God unless God reveals himself to man, we are talking about Christ. We are talking about the incarnation. We are talking about God until God knows. Have you heard that before? That God cannot know man man cannot know God except God reveals himself to man, right? You know, the way people think is that it's by praying. Yes, we pray, but it's by one mystical. No, that slang also was fulfilled in the incarnation and in the resurrection. That's how God reveals himself to man. Right now, you can read what has been revealed and you understand God. You can read. So funny enough, do you know the function of prayer? To be candid. Prayer we only... Oh God. Prayer we... Let me use the word. We put your attention... Happy, don't stop writing. Don't be discouraged. Prayer we put your attention to those things that we call the fruit of the Spirit. So for instance, as you pray, what will happen? You will now mix patience plus reading. Are you with me? As you pray, you now mix long suffering plus reading. That means you will read again, right? Are you with me? Until you understand. You will mix seriousness with it. You will mix commitment with it. So it's not just that. So what we call revelation knowledge, it has been written. And like I say, it's better for you to understand it as written, not in a vision, not in a dream. Say revelation knowledge has been written. Say we pray so that we can pay attention to the written word. Please, if you don't know where I'm coming from, you think I'm against... you should not say, I want to know submission and you are praying. The prayer should make you to study well. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say this Bible, it's not a mistake. It's not one of those things, though. It's the plan of God. That is why everything was like God, like true men, God did his best to ensure that this document was sustained. That's the power of God. Everybody, there was a time they said they burnt almost all the Bible in the world. He said, yes, it still remains one. Amen. That's your God. Amen. Call him beautiful for what? I mean, situation. Our situation. They almost burnt everything. They hide one. After some years, they discover Dead Sea Scroll. They discover. Amen. Amen. So, don't discard this documentation. 2 Timothy 3:15 now. So I said the initial things I said, it was just for you to be serious as we go through this study. That's, don't forget your individual rights are not as important as the purpose of the church. So that's just for you to be serious so that you can pay attention. Don't disturb your neighbor. You help your neighbor. Let's do this together. Let's study together. Yep. Okay, 3:15. Are you there? Open your Bible. Open your Bible. And if you're using phone, ensure pop-up. Ensure your data is not on. That's dishonor. Sure, data is not on so you're not distracted. Thank you. 3:15, are you there? Let's read together. I want to go. And from a child that has known the holy scriptures, shall be able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith Christ Jesus. Amen. So it says from a child, you have known. To know there is E-I-D-O. It means to perceive by the senses.
It means to expect from a child. You have been taught to inspect the scripture, like that small girl we talked about, to examine the scripture, to have interview with. It's not just a casual knowing. No, inspection, examination, to be skilled in something, to have regard for something, to cherish. From a child, you have been taught to cherish the scripture, to pay attention to the scripture, to have regard for the scripture. That's a lot. It's not just casual reading. Have regard for it. You look at it, you understand Bible slants. No, I didn't say slang, go slants, no slants. Bible's discretions. Let me give you, there are some things that are in the Bible that they actually just respect it. E.g., where in the epistles do we see dancing as praising God? Let me say coordinated dancing as praising God. Do you see any? So if I say, yeah, everybody, your hands like this. Everybody. Now don't miss, I mean everybody, we are doing, you know, if you are regressing, you know, you can regress by the spirit and you also do like this, right? Well, is it coordinated? Is it planned? That means, okay, as I'm preaching right now, have you seen me, like my wife said, because I'm not using this other microphone, that I usually fight a lot with my hand, that I demonstrate a lot. Now, do you know that we can call that dancing, right? But is it coordinated? That means this demonstration is only a response to what? To the speech, right? Amen? It's part of my expression. That means the real message is where? Is the speech, right? This one is what? A further expression, a further demonstration of the speech. So that means, so also, if we are singing, if, for instance, if you have not understand the song, should you dance? Think, let's be sincere. Okay, should I come to the front? Look at me now, don't worry. Should I come to the front and I'm just doing like this? Have I blessed you? So why do we do it in song? You know, we call something intro, right? No, the name of intro. Pam 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 pam. Give me don't bring press. Tan 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 pam 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 pam. We have done that for like 3 minutes. Then everybody has already, and you have the demonic guy that plays that thing. And then, what is the man doing? He's already, Amen. Now, all those, why have you said anything? That is permitted in Christian parties. I use Christian, so I can know that I like party too. But in the church, if I have not blessed you with word, I should not bless you with my bum bum. I mean, am I shaking it? I shouldn't. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
So, those, there are some discretions in the Bible. You respect it. That's why he's saying you have known it. You are acquainted with it. You know the slants. You know the discretions. You know the culture of the Bible. Christianity is not your father's religion. It's not your Yoruba's religion. It's not your Jesus religion. It's a Bible religion. Praise God. Praise God. It's not worse that we can say we are bringing commendations to church to bless people. With which spirit? So, discretion. Like I said earlier, the closest culture to God's culture is the Jewish culture. Why? Because of the fathers, right? Huh? Their fathers. They have an
a pedigree, an ancestral lineage that is already what? Used to God. Your own forefathers, are they used to God? What are they used to? Yes. Eh? Yes. Am I there, all right? But the Jews from the Abraham, from the pre, they have been communicating with divinity. That is why the writer of Hebrews has to be begging them that, okay, it's time to start looking away from angels. Looking at who? At the Son. Because they are even used to angels. Angels is not, you see that John 5. Say they are angels, should I come down? No, angel is not a thing you tell you. Say, hey, angel. No, they are used to it. Say, an angel should I come down as a certain season. He will see the water. And what? They say, well, maybe it's woman or superstition. We don't know. But you can see that these are guys that they know angel. We, who usually come into our bush and block us every night? Masquerade, right? Demons. So, if there is any culture closest to the ecclesiology of God, will it be our culture or their culture? Have I said their culture is always correct? What do I call it? Closest. That means we are going to defer to them. Are you getting me? As written in the scripture. And as judged by the epistles. So, oh God, God. 1 Timothy 2, verse 11. I'm coming. So, order is of God. One thing we can see in the Bible, everywhere from Genesis 1, e.g., like I've told you, I will read it right now. Why was the man created before the woman? Order. Order. Hear me and hear me well. Nothing else. So, not because the man is stronger than the woman. If some woman undo you, you will. Especially women like brass shinies. Amen. I don't believe you tell I'm losing. So it's not because awkward like that. It's not because how many ribs do they say we have? Ribs. What about ladies? How many? Huh? Doctor, let's see. How many ribs do women have? Five. Huh? Is it difficult to count? So count it at home, right? Okay, sorry. Amen. Let me focus on my job. So Google it, okay? Why should it be different? Yet you take the same paracetamol. Amen. So every creation of God is with order in mind. That's the point. Every creation of God is with order in mind. That is the same reason behind fathers and sons. That is the same reason why, as God is creating, God did not just create like 1 million Adams. Everybody just like back and everybody just mature like bam. What are we doing, right? Now you just want a long male at once. Bah! Everything in God is with order. Order. I must say it's one of the fruit of the Spirit. Order. Order. Codes of conduct, procedures, and line of command. Codes of conduct, procedures, line, like a chain of command, operational instructions, hierarchy. Are you with me? Codes of conduct, procedures, line of command, operational instructions, hierarchy. E.g., in the family, we see order. So when you see this 1 Timothy 2:11, please open. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection to her who? It's not to everybody, to her husband, but as far as not a woman to teach, not to absorb authority over the husband, not just the man, say the husband. Okay, but it's to be in silence. I mean, that means okay, because and now think about it too. So this order, right? So that means this order, there is something that you should say, is in mathematics. X is greater than Y, provided, right? Thank you. Provided X is an integer plus or minus between left and right, less than or greater than X. So you give it a range, right? So do you know, for instance, I didn't think verse 12 is talking about Bible interpretation. But if it's Bible interpretation, then verse 12 will only apply if the man knows more than the woman. If the woman is Sister Buki and the man. Imagine he's a word man. You know, I'm serious word man. He's a word man. He's on the road. So if the woman is Ketrin Kuma, hallelujah, and the man is Orlando. you don't have to know him. Hope you know that it is godly for the man to listen to the woman. Have I said that has changed? Well, it looks like yes. But there must what be order. Yeah, I told you that once you cannot teach your wife scripture, you are sorry, that's don't cause me out of context. But woman has touched you. So that means don't sketch it. That means if we are talking Bible in the morning devotion, should the man say, shut up, I'm your husband? No. Right? But family affairs, what should the woman do again? Submissive, right? I want to eat beans. You want to eat starch. Who should you listen to? The beans. Now that is the husband. That is husband. You know starch. Praise God. No, I mean, you don't want to eat starch. The wife loves beans. I know. And there is only one electric cooker, and you cannot cook the two at once. So, family affairs. You defy, right? For this, is it for the sake? Is it because he is wrong? No, just order. Say God wants peace at all cost. If it will take for your rights to be stampede, for peace to occur, God wants that peace. Hey, I'm not joking actually. That is why Romans 13 we call people who are in government, some of them they even kill to come to power. Yes, you call them what? Ministers of God. Why? They maintain peace and order. Because without peace and order in the environment, the gospel too will not go far. Are you with me, brethren?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. So, see verse 13 of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. For Adam was first formed, then who? Eve. So that is just for order. Not for the sake of superiority, for order. Order does not mean superiority. It's possible for people to be in this church that can preach more than me. Yes, they are writing notes right now. Not because they don't know. It's just order. Write it boldly in your notes. Ensure it comes out in all the exam. Order is not superiority. Isn't it your question? Order is not for the sake of, it's not superiority. That is not why we have order. Order is for peace. Order is just for progress. Are you with me, brethren? So, husbands, anybody? I'm the only husband here. So, sorry, Pastor Ushe is here. Chinese, what? So, don't forget, don't allow the order to enter your head and you have to say, I am your Alpha and Omega. No, it's just for you to give yourself, just respect yourself. God has put respect on you. Husband, you respect yourself too. You now start buga as Mawubi Akara. You understand? You now start buga and you are, sorry, don't write down now. And you are thinking that you are actually more. And I've told you, every religion that pushes down women, they are all false. You should go and look at the characteristics of almost every false religion. They will push down women. Not only Islam, plenty of them. That is a common trait. Because don't forget, in the clear intention of God, Genesis 1:27, he said, male and female created them. That means in the intention, in the new creation, is male and female. Galatians 3 says, in Christ Jesus, there is neither what? Male nor female. You are one in Christ. So that means the reason why somebody listens to another is just for what? Order. And that orderliness is of God. He says in 1 Corinthians 14, to God is not an order of confusion. I think in our prophecy, say, if you are prophesying and somebody, something is revealed to somebody else, you have spoken, keep quiet. Not because you don't have something to say again, right? But at least for what? Orderliness. If it will take for your rights to be stampeded for order, please allow it to go. Right? Without order, we will not, that purpose of the church, we will not be able to achieve it. Praise God. Don't worry, this sermon will bless you. It will bless you. It will bless you. And minimum, it will be part 1 to where it's going right now. It's already entering part 11 right now. It should be 10 before. Okay. That is the one that is already written. So Ephesians 5:22. Please. And I will not exceed my time today. Ephesians 5:22. Please, Friday 7 o'clock. Like station starts 7. That's, I beg you. Friday 7. That's why I give you time. Please, 7. Come with Nescafe. Ephesians 5:22. Let's read together 22 to 25 without stopping. Want to go? Yes. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husband in everything. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself. Ephesians 6 verse 1. Go to 6 verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first covenant with promise. Amen, amen. So I think Ephesians 6 verse 1, I think you should be talking about biological parents, right? Huh? Because verse 2, right? No, some of you use this more for spiritual parents, but I think I subscribe to more of biological, because it's now saying father and mother. So if you have spiritual father, you have to have spiritual mother. So that would be serious. So your spiritual father's wife. Wow. What, he doesn't have a wife? So don't forget, okay? That's why I said we are going to look at this in everything in the series, mentoring and the rest. Like when you say father means source, right? So when we say spiritual father, that will be the source of your spiritual steadfastness. That is not gender based. So Buki can actually be your spiritual father. Amen, amen. So go to Romans 13. Yeah, I've quoted this one initially. Let's see it again. It's just great to get all this. Get all this. Don't it will help us. I'm missing EZ. I hope you should be here by Friday. Romans 13, verse 1. Let's read 1 and 2 together. 1 to go, yes. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are what? And it's talking about PDP and APC, or people that we know that they are very, very unserious people. See next verse, verse 2. So I therefore resist the power, resist the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. See, same, go back to Ephesians 6. Verse 5. Ephesians 6, verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with what? Fear and trembling in singleness of heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. This is just for orderliness. That means, for instance, if both me and my boss, we are attending the same church, and maybe unfortunately, I am more spiritual than my boss. Amen. I have to tell him to do PR, right? Imagine Bookie's boss just walking into church and he says she wants to be committed, you know, who will disciple him, right? So he's now saying, well, although both of you are heirs of the same promise, don't use that one to also what? Insult or spite your boss or stuff. No. And also, this is not supporting slave trade. So you have used this place to say before the Bible is supporting master slave trade, J.K. Flip-flop relationship. No. And see verse 9. Because he still speaks to the masters too. Let's read verse 9 together. Want to go? You masters, do the same unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons within. Amen, amen. So it was only bringing order into a system of men. Let me tell you the truth. We may not be calling them masters and slaves today, but today we still have masters and servants. Amen. Somebody will call you that. If you don't resume by 8, I will sack you and you'll be there by 7:30. What's that? It's master and servant. Amen. Praise God. The only good thing that we have nowadays is that you can resign. But you know, there are some that you cannot actually resign. If you resign, you know what it's called? Like a bond. Like, they'll say, okay, before you can take this job, you must work with me for the next 3 years. Or else you must pay back the money I used to train you. Have you ever heard that before? Uh-huh. So you know, it's not, you are not always free. So it's already an existing human relationship which the epistle is only bringing order to. Now, all this means that the kingdom of God must be the highest demonstration of orderliness. The kingdom of God, if even institutions that are not spiritual, God is telling you to respect, right? To have regard, to honor. That means the kingdom of God must be the highest demonstration of what? Orderliness. Thank you. Highest demonstration. Orderliness. Thank you. 1 Corinthians 11. Now, there's a common wrong idea that the church order is master-slave. No. No, no, no. It's not. Church order does not imply master-slave, but leader to followership love. Write it down that way. Church order does not imply a master-slave relationship, but a leader to a followership love. Love, love. Love, love. It's a love. E.g., you can go to your place of work by 7:30 early in the morning when even the official time is 8 because you are seeking the good face of your boss, but you can also travel from here all the way to maybe Port Harcourt to see a lady because you love her. Amen? So, love is what makes us to obey in church. Why do we obey? Love. It's not master-slave. It's not do anything I say, whatever I say, whenever I say. It's do it for the sake of love. Love binds us together. Love. Love. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1. Please give me your attention. Be you followers of me, even as I am of. So is he following blindly? Hello? Is he following blindly? Is he master slave? No. 11 verse 1. Be you followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Of course, that word is, and there's in italics, it's like, be ye followers of me, even as I also, you see, I'm can see be there, I'm of Christ. So now, how do, the next question should now be, should be intelligence. That's why I say always reason true, okay? Once you read this one, what should be your next question? How do I know he is of Christ? How do I know he is of Christ? Which is like one area a lot of people have not been able to explain very well. But it's just simple. It's so simple. Let me just give you 3 bullet points. Number 1, wait for the obvious. Number 1, wait for the obvious. How do I know a man is not of Christ? How do I know this is a man I ought not to submit to? Wait for the obvious. Hold on. Number 2, you have the scripture. Number 3, you have the spirit. Firstly, wait for the obvious. That means wait till I am obviously declaring myself not to be of Christ. Or wait till I am doing something that is clearly against the purpose of the church. Wait for the obvious. Wait for the obvious. Secondly, you have the scripture. That means, again, let me explain again. How do I know who to follow? He said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So, waiting for the obvious means, wait for me to declare my rebellion against Christ, right? Wait for me to declare my independence against Christ. Just wait. It will. Secondly, you have the scripture. Also, you have what? You have the spirit. You have discernment. That's what I can say. 1 Timothy 1 verse 12. Come on, 15 minutes more. Come on, let's cover some ground. Let's cover some ground. Okay, 1 Timothy 1 verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who at... Okay, you're not there. Is it Corinthians? Corinthians. Is it Corinthians? It's not Corinthians, it's Timothy. Chapter 1 verse 12. Let's read together 1:12. One to go. Yes, sir. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he hath counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Amen, amen. Praise God. No man will first test you, grade you, and approve you, right? But God approves you before sending you. Man will first what? Test you, grade you, then approve you. But God approves before sending you. Glory to God. Say, that's our God. Say, that's our God. Say, he already called me faithful. Say, I am called faithful. No, don't forget, we are talking about ministry, church, other. And just wait for the flow. You will catch it soon. So, what we are doing right now is to show the world that we have been approved of God. What we are doing right now is to show the world, LD, that we have been approved by God. That we have been approved by God. In salvation, we are already called faithful. We are already approved by God. In salvation, we are already approved by God. But what we are to do right now is not salvation. Because in ministry, although he called you faithful from the beginning, but eventually some would not end up being faithful. That's the point. God started your Christian journey with faithfulness. He called you faithful from the beginning, but eventually some would not end up being faithful. 2 Peter 1 verse 10. We analyze this. That will be done for now. 2 Peter 1 verse 10. Are you there? Like don't forget, now we're not talking about salvation, because you are saved eternally when you receive Christ, and you're going to remain saved eternally.
But in ministry, although he called you faithful from the beginning, but not everybody ends up being faithful.
I see you again. I'm trying to take this as gently as I can so that for your comprehension. Don't miss Friday. Come ready, come prepared. Tomorrow is for your cell meetings, cell groups. Maybe Pastor Bia will see the workers after service. Okay, 2 Peter 1:10. 1-2, go. Let's read. Yes. Wherefore, be rather, brethren, give what? To make your calling and election sure. Wow, hold on. So give diligence, right? No, you cannot be saying give diligence to make heaven. That would be antichristos. That would be antichristology. Right? But it's not saying give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Wow. That means although you have been called faithful from the beginning, but you have a responsibility to make that calling and that election sure. If you do these things, you shall never fall. Wow. Wow. So that means this must be talking about ministry. Ministry. Therefore, let's read the earlier verses. Let's see what he's saying. We have to see the earlier verses. Let's see what he's saying. Check verse 2. 2 Peter 1:2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Verse 3. Slowly, once you go, let's read. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to glory. That's his salvation, right? That's salvation. Verse 4. Slowly, once you go. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Hold on, promises. Each promise there is actually a parite, epangelia. That means self-commitment assurance. There is self-commitment. That means a commitment that God himself keeps. Promises. Hold on. A commitment that God himself keeps, right? But by this commitment that God himself is ready to keep, what did he now say? That by this you might be partakers of the divine nature. Okay. That word divine nature, it looks like, no. Can you see probability in verse 4? Can you see a statement of probability there? Look at your Bible. You can't see it. Look at my face. Yeah. Huh? Might, right? So, immediately you see might, that again cannot be salvation. Hello, brethren? He said it was, we are given exceeding great and precious promises, right? Which I said, self-commitment. But by this self-commitment which God is ready to do, by it, we might be partakers of what? Divine nature. Now, let's mention 4 things that we have as a Christian based on the commitment of God. Yes? Eternal salvation, yes. And that is actually correct because 1 Corinthians 15 says because you have a promise of the glorification of eternal salvation that you should do ministry well. That means be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, even as much as you know your labor reward is not in vain in the Lord. Next, yes, any other thing that we have in Christ based on the commitment of God? Same thing. Thank you, Rangers. Yes? Immortal body, yes? The Holy Ghost, right? Thank you. Any other thing? Ministry, yes? Any other thing? Yes, that's in salvation. Huh? Yes, some forgiveness, yes? Revelation, yes? Yeah, is that based on? Yeah, okay, yes. What about angels? Do we have ministering spirit? Do we have ministering spirit? Is it based on God's commitment or based on your commitment? God's commitment. So that means also, do we have ministry gift? Huh? Do we have people sent to grow us up? Ephesians 4? Is that based on God's commitment? Yes. But all these things, so that is what is called all those things I mentioned is, you can put that inside promise. Things that God does. But by this thing, we might be partakers of the divine nature. That word divine nature, please write this down, is a Greek word, P-H-U-S-I-S, phusis. It means a divine disposition. Like an extension of something. Actually, it means a divine assignment. Nature there is not talking about our, go and study the Greek word when you get home. It means like is, you can call it like a divine assignment. That means a work that is based on our makeup. Please don't ensure you write that, write that down. A work that is based on our makeup. Ministry is a work based on the makeup of the believer. Hallelujah. It's a work that is based on our makeup. On our nature. Say we have received the New Testament ministry because you are new creatures. You can see? An assignment based on what? Our makeup. An assignment based on our makeup. Don't forget, by these great promises, that means who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, you might be partakers. You might fulfill the divine assignment. Are you with me? Having escaped the corruption which is in the world through lust. 10 minutes more, I'll be closing. Please pay attention. Verse 5. And beside this, bad translation, you can call it based on this. Based on this. It's not saying apart from this. No. Based on this. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Virtue there means modesty. A-R-E-T-E. A-R-E-T-E. Modesty. Add to your faith virtue, modesty. And to virtue, knowledge. Verse 6. And to knowledge, temperance. Temperance means self-control. Write that down. And to temperance, patience. Can you see that these are tools for ministry? Are you with me? Are you with me? Okay, I know you're right. So, that's... Have I lost you somewhere? So, all these things that we are listing now, this is inside that might. Again, hold on. Well done. I know you are trying. I will explain. Don't forget what I said initially about by these promises, right? We might, right, be partakers of the divine nature. So that might. This is what defines the might. Don't forget, when I was explaining to you about Bible, that what is the duty of prayer? What is the duty of the Holy Ghost in causing us to know the Bible? What's the duty? So what? Say it out now. That means we will bear the fruit of the Spirit. Pay more attention. That means it's not that God is using something to what? Cover the face of man like this. But there is something about natural man that is just, you are just hasty to conclusion. You are not patient. Patience is of God. Hallelujah. So that is why you remember that, it's Mark, around chapter 13, the guy that came to Jesus and was asking him that what is the greatest of the commandments? And the guy said, love God and love your neighbor. And the guy said, that this is actually more than all the burnt offering and sacrifice. And I told that guy just finished quoting Hebrews 10 before resurrection. Are you with me? That means it's possible to know Hebrews 10 before what? Resurrection. Remember, after he finished explaining John 3 to him, what did Jesus tell Nico? He said, are you a master of Israel and you don't know this thing? That means he expects him by just studying patiently.
See, that thing that always says, not patience in a place, it's not of God. That thing that always wants to make you to be hyper. Give me, help my grammar, help my grammar life.
Oh, awesome, man of God. Man of God. Thank you.
Write it down. Hyper prince. Pastor. Hypertension. Hyperactive. That you just want to, you don't want to stay in the place. You just want to be. What is happening? What is the happening one?
Remember when the guys of Athens said they spend their time only in hearing,
discussing new things. They only spend their time. Say all those that is Acts 17. They only spend their time hearing or discussing one new things. So now this is what I'm saying. That means when I miss patience with my Bible reading, I will see better, right?
So also, what this verse is now saying is, based on this, my divine nature, now I have a promise, right? Promise, by this promise, we might be partakers of this divine nature. So I was now saying, what am I going to use to labor on the promise that I might be fulfilled in the divine assignment? That is what Peter is now describing.
Are you with me?
He now said in verse 6, and to patient temperance, right? That means self-control. That means one of the ways that I can partake that, oh God, are you getting me, Jah? I missed the grammar already now. One of the ways that the promise will result to fulfillment in a divine assignment is patience, temperance, godliness. Verse 7, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For instance, this verse 7 right now, you remember 1 Corinthians 14, right? That is saying, although 13 and 14, although you have all tongues, you have all prophecy, you have all demo, yet you cannot apply it in love, right? You will not fulfill ministry. Praise God. That's why he said, although I can speak in tongues than you all, but in the church, I would rather speak more words in understanding so that I can teach some of you. So that means that is not showing power. That's love. Say love. That means love, for instance, will make us to be fulfilling. Right? Give me a grammar. To fulfill that divine assignment. Praise God. Hallelujah. Say we have things with which we labor on on the promises that we might be fulfilled in the ministry. Something like that. Maybe the next part I will help you to clarify better. So let us read this one. We'll close. Let's read verse 7 again. Want to go? And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Amen. So that means nothing is self-seeking, nothing is wealth hyperventilating. Please write this down. Because this is church, okay? By the time you remember what I taught you on the book of James, nothing is self-seeking, nothing is wealth hyperventilating. I mean, you're not just trying to prove yourself. You're not trying to show your color. Nothing is position boasting. And nothing is fame seeking above this ministry. Nothing is self-seeking. Nothing is wealth hyperventilating. Nothing is position boasting. And nothing is fame seeking above this ministry. Glory to God. Say the ministry is our life. Hallelujah. Therefore, it is conservative. Verse 8 now. Verse 8. 2 Peter 1, verse 8. Let's read slowly. 1, 2, go. For if these things, Brackin, being you and are born, they make you that you shall neither what? Be barren, nor what? Unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord. That explains what I'm saying, since, right? That is what I'm trying to bring out for you. So he's saying, if these things right now, if they abide in you, if they are born, they will ensure that you are not unfruitful. That means, can I have all the divine promises, yet I'm unfruitful? Yet I'm not fruitful. Yes. Can I have the Holy Ghost, yet I am not blessing men with the Holy Ghost? Yes. That means there are things that will mix with who we are in Christ. Those things are also in Christ, but not important. Hallelujah.
What's the fruit of the Spirit?
What Peter just finished describing for you there is what we call the fruit of the Spirit. Just read this again and we close.
You see that verse 5.
Decide this based on this. Give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue. Modesty. Modesty. Say modesty.
So what is modesty? Who can just English? Modesty. Sir? Decency? Any other one?
Conservative. Conservatism.
Conservation? Any other word for modesty?
Moderation.
Hallelujah. That's nothing is hyperventilating, but ministry.
So add to it modesty. Modesty, moderate. Calm down. Don't compete. Not for fame. Add to your faith, virtue, then knowledge, then to knowledge, temperance, self-control. Not always about my rights. It's not always compulsory that I am seen as correct. Let love just prevail. Let the ministry progress.
And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness.
Which, please, godliness, they write this down. Devotion. That's the meaning. That means these things that you know to do, be devoted. Don't just say, I am a prayer jacker. Are you devoted to prayer? I can preach the gospel. Are you devoted to it? That's godliness. Godliness now means like a God. Check the Greek word for me. Is it Eusebia? Is Eusebia right? That is the same word in 1 Timothy 3:16. Great is the mystery of godliness. We say there, that means our reverence, our religion, our culture. Hallelujah. Our devotion. That means you add everything. Don't just say, I'm a word man. Don't just score 70 in the exam once. Score 80 consistently. Devotion. Are you with me? Say consistency. Thank you, Lord Jesus. See, these things, if you add this, let me finish it. Come on. Glory, glory, glory. This is how the church can progress. Devotion, godliness. And to godliness, what now? Brotherly kindness, love, charity, like we have finished studying in our past series. And to brotherly kindness, same thing, charity. Hallelujah. Now say, for if these things, let's read verse 8 together, everybody. Again, want to go? For if these things be in you and are born, they make you that you shall never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Next verse. Yes. For he that lacketh these things is what? Is blind. Wow. And what? Cannot see afar off. And that's what? He has forgotten redemption. Hallelujah.
We look at that from Friday. Praise God. See, I'm not forgetful of who I am. See, I'm not forgetful of my makeup.
So when you see a believer that puts his right above our unity, you have forgotten who you are. You have forgotten you are a patient person.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just pray in tongues. I'm done. I'm done. Offices. These sermons, this series, it will change your perspective about ministry. It will give you a new focus. It will help you to last long in ministry. It will set you up to be fulfilled. To be fulfilled. Just pray. Just pray. Just pray. Just pray. Just pray. Just pray. Devotion. Devotion is a lot. Some people say Christianity is not a religion. It's a religion, though. Religion simply means something you do religiously, something you are devoted to. It's a religion. Religion simply means it's a religion, it's our devotion. Who God is to man, is the incarnation, his death, burial, resurrection, is our devotion.
our devotion. Our devotion. Our devotion. Our devotion. Our devotion. This is our devotion. Our devotion.